And we're live on Facebook. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins here on Augusta Free Press. Welcome to everyone out there. We're going to talk some NASCAR news. We'll wrap up the most recent iRacing event and all the fun stuff that came out of that. We'll also talk about some news involving NASCAR and scheduling actual real-life races again, at least thinking about scheduling some real-life races. First, though, Rod, let's start with the most recent iRacing series race. Nothing bad coming out of this. No N-words. Nobody suspended. Nobody fired. Nothing like that. We did have some headlines come out of it that had nothing to do with the winner of the race necessarily. But take us through what happened with the virtual race this past weekend.
Well, this past race at Richmond, virtual Richmond Raceway, William Byron took his second win of the year, second consecutive win. Of course, he'd won at Bristol here a couple of weeks ago, and then he won at Richmond. He beat out Timmy Hill, who Timmy Hill was trying to catch up with him at Texas. And then, of course, I think he did end up winning that race. Timmy Hill did. He wanted to go and do the same thing to Byron that he did in the Texas race in order to come up with this win, but he was a little bit too little too late on that. But, you know, some of the other drivers that participated, I at first thought last week that Dale Earnhardt was not going to be participating, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and he raced his way in, and he got into this race. And as I look back on the schedule and everything, and going back to the final standings, he finishes eighth out of that whole group. So it was a good performance for Dale Earnhardt Jr., especially coming off that Indy race that he had such a great run. I really have to throw out some kudos to Parker Kligerman also. He came in, finished third in that race. He's been trying to navigate the rounds, and right now he's trying a big push into Twitch, and that's really one of the dominant people with some of the games and so forth about getting some more exposure. I think we're going to see probably this aligning itself or paralleling with NASCAR maybe through the rest of the season. And so you're going to have your live races, which we'll talk about here and hopefully in just a few minutes, that, and then you're going to have your iRacing schedule as well. So there's some big interest in it. Throw you something out here that I didn't know until actually Monday, that iRacing subscriptions for people wanting to participate and get in on racing has increased 50% for iRacing. It's been one of the biggest booms that they've had. So they're wanting to get in on the racing end of it. And a lot of people have started, you know, talking about, wow, this iRacing thing is really catching on. Denny Hamlin says, yeah, I'm going to have to do a better job qualifying. That's what I'm going to have to do when it comes to iRacing, though.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, this is one of these things we talk about, you know, however long it is until we're able to start, you know, poking our head out of the hole here and looking around and getting back to some sense of normalcy. You know, there are going to be some things that come from this that are going to linger. And maybe certainly it sounds like iRacing is one. The interest has peaked now out there in the hinterlands. We've been exposed to it on a mass scale, and it's no longer just something that a few people, you know about and want to be a part of. That's interesting as far as that goes. And so you talked about the race. We also had some fun coming out of this one. And for once again, the headlines were the things that are kind of off the track involving the iRace. This was a fun one this time around. Take us into that story.
Yes, it was. Now, we have to admit that the gentleman by the name of Matt DiBenedetto, Matt did get he finished 27th, but I think they also got onto him for a little bit of some rough driving with one of the drivers out on the track. And I'm wanting to say it was either Ryan Preece or Christopher Bell. But the funny thing about it was Matt DiBenedetto raced on Sunday afternoon in a giraffe outfit. Now, that's what's so weird. A couple of weeks before, you know, he was kind of being a little daring too. He said, I'm racing here in my underwear. That was more information than I needed to know. But this past week, he's racing in a giraffe outfit. And then he posts on Twitter, post-race recap, I don't feel very intimidating currently, but you guys can still sense my rage looking at the picture of him in a giraffe. It's one of these one-piece outfits like you'd wear to bed at night, and you can get them for adults, but only Matt DiBenedetto could pull something off like this and have some fun with it. I know he's probably frustrated from the race, the beating and banging that was going on. He was fighting for a position throughout this race, but you got to give kudos to Matt DiBenedetto in this for having a sense of humor out of this whole thing and making iRacing a little bit more interesting to watch.
Yeah, now the gauntlets throw down. Let's see some other guys racing in some fun outfits like that, you know? I mean, you can order them online, and it's kind of like a challenge now. It's almost like, hey, as long as we're still doing this, let's have a Halloween-like effect there and see how daring these guys might get. I don't want to hear any more of those underwear stories either, though.
No, I don't. Think about it.
Wear your underwear, that's fine. Hopefully it's under other things, and that's supposed to be.
Let's keep this a family show right now. So
keep it a family show right now, yeah, because we should mention, you're with family right now. You're visiting your son and your grandchild as we're talking right now.
Yes, I am. I just made the trip down the road to Clintwood, and so I'm sitting here, and hopefully internet connection will stay together here for us. But, yeah, I'm here visiting grandbaby, and grandbaby's off in the other room, and she's having a meal right now, enjoying a bottle, so, and growing like a weed. So it's been fun being here, and fortunately just able to work things out to where we could be able to do the show from here this evening.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for doing that. And so we talked about the iRace. Let's talk about some possible actual on-the-track racing. I know that NASCAR has been talking with the governors of both Texas and Florida. The governors there have already taken some steps to get get other parts of their business community moving a little sooner rather than later. There are other states that are making these moves too, but I know NASCAR is talking specifically to Texas and Florida about Texas Motor Speedway, about Daytona, possibly Homestead, and getting some things moving there. What's the latest on that news?
Okay, well, Texas right now, as it stands, Eddie Gossage, who is the general manager of Texas Motor Speedway, he's been talking to Greg Abbott, who's the governor of the state of Texas, and Abbott realizes, hey, we've got to get back to some semblance of normalcy here. So, you know, if we're starting to kind of emerge from this and we're not having as much trouble, why not go and have an event maybe in the month of June, the way that they're looking at it? And the possibility of that exists, that it may be an IndyCar NASCAR doubleheader weekend. And if it is, it would work perfect because you'll have the IndyCars racing, I think, on a Saturday night. NASCAR would race on Sunday. You'd have to align some things in there for the Xfinity series of how they're going to do that. But, you know, that's opened the door there. Greg Abbott has been very receptive to that. Also, talking about Florida, Homestead, I know that the Miami mayor has said, yeah, we would like to have the race here at Homestead, have it here, but we're going to have it without fans. The same thing goes for Texas as well. Texas is also realizing that. We're waiting to find out if we're going to hear anything from North Carolina governor and find out what his belief and what his feelings are going to be. It seems like that both houses in the Senate of North Carolina is putting the pressure on him right now to say, we need to get back to some sense of normalcy. And so they're proposing, hey, let's throw some of this out or start easing some of this out, at least get Charlotte on the schedule by the end of May, run the race, but no fans again, but run the World 600, the Coca-Cola 600, maybe even have the All-Star race, but try to put something together. The stirring is starting. I mean, it's already starting with this. And, you know, we talked last week a little bit about this whole thing of wondering, did we jump the gun on it? Did we not jump the gun fast enough? You know, has everybody really gone about doing this sort of thing the right way? And I think we're starting to find out that there's kind of some splintering in this unified effort at first, because now it's starting to be written on the wall, business, what's suffering, all these different things. NASCAR is one of those, and don't tell me, anybody out there, don't tell me that NASCAR is not suffering out of this right now. It's not as much NASCAR as it is the teams, because they have contracts in place that says you have to have so much sponsorship on a car running through a certain period of time of the season. And if you don't have that on there, that's money, it's up in smoke, and it's gone. So they're trying to go, and they're trying to accommodate some people down the line. Texas is working on this. Florida is. And also we'll find out hopefully something maybe by Thursday about North Carolina, what they're planning on doing. And if North Carolina says we're going to have the Coca-Cola 600, I'll just say to you, we might as well just start making plans and go, because it's going to be a fun event. Even though there won't be any fans there, it'll probably be a more, low down to earth sort of festivities, because they always celebrate the military there on 600 weekend. So I'm sure it'll be a very low key event, but still guaranteed to make the fans want to watch it on television. And that's another thing too. You mentioned that here a week or two ago, television's losing some big revenue out of this. Fox is right now taking the beating out of this. NBC is kind of sitting back and saying, all right, what's going to come into our lap by the time that the season switches? Will we have to split it with Fox? That's going to be a lot of things that's going to have to be decided.
Yeah, there's still 32 races. NASCAR is dead set on having all 32 of those races. You know, we'll have to see. But it's great news to hear that there's at least those discussions going on behind the scenes. And, yeah, you know, I know the mainstream media is not reporting on the numbers that are coming out, a lot of the studies that are coming out. But those of us who do follow closely the health blogs, the science blogs, are starting to see that the situation is improving. We're getting more knowledge about COVID. It's not like it's reckless just to say, let's have races in front of 100,000 fans. But certainly having races with no fans and then having the teams out there providing entertainment, it's a compromise. And also very important for NASCAR and other sports. You know, baseball's talking about this. I just read a story about the NHL. Is actually changing its own thinking. It had been thinking about having its playoffs in a regular season and playoffs in one or two different places, and now they're talking about having them in NHL arenas again with no fans. So every day that there's news, the health situation seems to be getting a little more clear, and then you know the businesses, the sports leagues are definitely getting a little more confident every day that they're going to be able to get some things moving here, and of course. That's great news for us fans. It's great news for the sports leagues, the companies involved, and it's just good news for everybody. Hopefully we're moving in that right direction.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I mean, I know that they had mentioned, Major League Baseball had mentioned either a 3 or 4 state kind of situation in a particular stadium. Maybe, I think, no, with no fans, the same thing as NASCAR is trying to do, but at least keeping it further south and in areas at least that haven't been maybe totally affected, so to speak. And I think NASCAR is doing the same thing. The one that I'm really scared about, though, and people keep on talking about it, I saw a headline here maybe about an hour or so ago before we went on, is like everybody is really coming down on the state of Georgia right now. It's like state of Georgia is wanting to throw the doors open and the windows open and just go back to this thing almost immediately. And I think there needs to be a kind of a step-by-step process. And I really took, I guess I kind of took offense maybe to a degree of the Georgia governor is wanting to go and make Georgia the number one state in the union, or the state in the United States that's going to become the death state. And I think that's a little bit far reaching on something like that. Look, these people are just as frustrated as the fans and other people wanting to get business, or for that matter, who own a business, and they're wanting to get customers in and try to get away from this, I guess, so much downplay of all this stuff, the way it has been for so long. They're wanting a difference. And I think, you know, you're starting to see that. And I know there's protests going on around the country and people are upset. They want to get back to normal. Yeah, but I think that they could do this if they do it in a gradual process and they just don't go with the wind and throw everything out. And that's the end of it.
Well, my read of George's actually, I think the headlines make it like he's doing a lot more than he's doing. Georgia does seem like it's going in a more recent fashion, certainly than just, hey, let's go back out there. I wrote a column the other day, Rod, you might have read. We're not going to be running naked on the beach at midnight here or anything else, to kind of use it to Benedetto sitting in his underwear racing a race kind of terminology. We're not going balls to the wall. I'll just say it that way. Now we're running the risk of not having a family show, but we're not doing that. But you know, the idea of let's just get our heads out of here a little bit, get our heads out of the hole. Let's do some things that are sensible. Social distancing, if you want, you know, we'll continue doing that. Every day we're getting a little more comfortable with the numbers that are coming out and everything else. That's great. But at the same time, we both live in a state. Now we're thinking about NASCAR. We have tracks in Martinsville, Bristol, Richmond. And we live in a state where our governor seems insistent on keeping us shut down until about 2022 or so, give or take a month. And so, there's the one approach, which is let's open everything up and see what happens. There's the other approach of let's you know, pour dirt on our own graves here. And I'm not sure that either approach, either extreme, is the way to go. That more reasoned approach you talked about is definitely the way to go.
Well, and another thing too that kind of has bothered me a little bit more, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, he's kind of going with this thing. He's phasing some of these things out. I know by May 1st, the big announcement is, you know, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, they're going to be opening up. They're going to, you know, welcome people back, but they are going to insist on the 6-foot distancing from each other. You know, they want people to wear masks, you know, be safe out there. But here's a situation. We're talking about our governor in Virginia who goes and at the same time, like you said, wants to keep things locked up to a certain period of time. That really hurts a state, or I should say a town or a city like Bristol. Bristol is right on the state line. You've got Bristol, Virginia, right down State Street. A lot of race fans come to State Street. A lot of fans come on the Tennessee side of the street. And here, Virginia is already faced with this right now. They've got some restaurants and places that aren't going to be open at the same time some of these others are going to be opening up come the 1st of May in the state of Tennessee. And so that would even hurt a race even greater for Bristol, more so than anybody else. It's already hurt Martinsville. It has already hurt Richmond out of this. I think that the governor needs to find a way, some way, somehow, to inject something into the economy, something at least to Martinsville and to Richmond. They've been good tourist tracks. They bring a lot of people in here and stuff. Richmond, of course, has been one of the strongest races of bringing people down the coast and so forth and up the coast. Martinsville brings a lot of people in from inland, especially from my part of the state, brings them from all over the state. He's going to really have to think about this. And when they start doing the scheduling, you know, here's the next big thing that's come up. And the thing was coming up in September. Here we go again with the possibility of an even stronger strain. I don't want to talk about that right now. I think we need to just take it a day at a time. We're already working toward trying to come up with some kind of thing to solve this whole problem. That's what we need to be working on. If it comes down to it and we have to withdraw those races, then so be it. But still, it's like you said, we can't go and be like an ostrich and go stick our heads in the sand and then just say, forget about it. The season's off. Let's not even worry about it anymore.
You know what, Rod? Even outside of NASCAR, I'm beyond tired of hearing those health official types who want it. I call it fear porn. I saw that headline you're talking about there. The supposed more virulent strain in September and October. You know what? They don't know any more what they're talking about than they did predicting where we are right now 4 weeks ago. And so, right. You know, I say kind of shame on these people for some of the stuff they're engaging in. Anyway, you know, and I'll leave it at that. I think a lot of us are actually, Rod. We're all kind of tired of being told to cower in fear in our homes. Which is not to say that we don't need to be smart about this. Let's be smart about it. But
exactly,
you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, among the people that can maybe show us that we can do some things safely might be NASCAR. Maybe NASCAR can have these, you know, the Texas and Florida can have some things on the schedule. We can get Carolina to get involved and some other states and do some safe things. Give us some entertainment and give us something to just get out of the funk we're in right now. We're in a collective national funk. And we can use some good news.
I love watching UVA's national championship, but, you know, after a while on the ACC network, you know how it's going to end. You're just like, hey, enough with this. I mean, I've watched Tech beating, Tech beating so-and-so and then Virginia beating Tech on that last game of the season. I'm like, okay, I know how it ends. We've got to have a change is what we've got to have right now.
Yeah, I've watched the World Series. I think I've watched it 4 times now, every game. You know, and I knew what happened already. I watched it last October, like you, Rod. I've watched the UVA National Championship run enough at this stage. I didn't think I'd ever say that. I've watched it enough now. I think I'm good with that for a while. We need something, and we need something good to divert our attention from the cabin fever we have. And you know, I know we're getting into springtime. Hey, is it springtime down your way yet? You know, we're both in the state of Virginia, but you're in a part of the state that might still be a little colder than where I am. Are you starting to feel it's like spring down your way?
Today we are. Yeah, today is today feels really great out today. It's I wouldn't say it's very super warm. It's kind of cool, probably in about the mid to upper 60s, but a little bit of a breeze going. But I mean, it's nice. I'm not going to complain about it. But yes, we're supposed to have a couple of cool nights here over the next. But that's normal back in this end of the state. And I think it's normal probably along your part of Virginia, right in there, going into the range, right in there, the Shenandoah Valley and everything. There's always that up and down temperature thing all the time up in there. So it's just something you have to get used to.
Got some fresh air today. I went out for a run on my greenway. Lots of people walking dogs and babies and everything else. It was great to be a part of that. It felt normal. It actually felt normal. And that's a good thing. We're 41 days into our stay-at-home order from our governor. Tomorrow will be the end of the sixth week of our stay-at-home order. And it's good to see some normalcy here. Well, Rod, you've got a grandbaby to love one, so I need to let you go do that. So thank you for updating us on NASCAR news. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll have some more to talk about, but thanks for your time today.
Okay, we'll have Talladega to talk about next week, so we'll find out how that's going to go, and we'll see what in the world happens at Talladega and see how many big ones we can have in the big super speedway down in Central Alabama.
I know, we're looking forward to it, but this big one won't hurt anybody, so let's have a couple big ones, right?
So we'll be looking forward to this one, so thanks, Chris.
That's right. Well, thanks, Rod, and thanks to our viewers out there. We'll have a great day, everybody.